morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Grenville Strategic Royalties' fourth quarter and year-end 2015 results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. If anyone has difficulties hearing the conference, you may press star zero for operator assistance at any time. I would like to remind everyone that today's discussions may contain forward-looking statements that reflect current views with respect to future events. Any such statements are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those projected in the forward-looking statements. For more information on Grenville's risks and uncertainties related to those forward-looking statements, please refer to the company's Management Information Circular dated April 16, 2015, which is available on SEDAR. Today's call is being recorded on April 27, 2016. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Catherine McLeod-Seltzer, Chair of Grenville Strategic Royalty, and please go ahead, Ms. McLeod-Seltzer.
Thank you. Good morning, and thank you all for participating in today's call. I am joined today with Steve Perry, CEO, and Donica Rahill, our Chief Financial Officer. As we announced yesterday, there's been a series of management changes. In keeping with good corporate governance, Steve has turned the board chair position over to me as he has now stepped in as CEO. Bill Tharp has resigned as president, CEO, and director to pursue other business interests. The board expresses its sincere thanks to Bill for his leadership in the first phase of Grenville's growth. We have now entered the next phase of Grenville's development with a more defined focus on enhancing the sustainability of our dividend. I will now turn the call over to Steve Perry to walk through additional changes in operating and accounting practices to better manage the yield-generating portfolio of small to mid-sized business investments.
Thanks, Catherine. As we had previously reported, Grenville has had an amazing 2.5 years of generating growth, demonstrating the model can invest 12% cost of capital and turn it into a 25% product in the SME marketplace. Now it is time to enter our second phase, focusing on the sustainability of our dividend. The last quarter has been more challenging, but we are addressing those challenges and have a strong plan moving forward with lots of levers to optimize free cash flow and our ability to support that dividend. Now, turning to the financial highlights, Q4 represents our eighth consecutive quarter of growth and the end of a strong fiscal year. All results are quoted with respect to our new IFRS 9 financial reporting, described more fully in the MD&A on page 4. Financial highlights. Royalty payment income and interest income earned of $2.48 million in the quarter and $8.99 million for the year ended. Adjusted EBITDA of $4.2 million in the quarter and $10.8 million for the year end. Realized gains on contract buyouts of $2.4 million in the quarter and $4.55 million for the year ended. And finally, free cash flow of $3.7 million in the quarter, $7.3 million for the year ended. There was a strong close to the year with 4 new company investments in the quarter, bringing the total to 31 investments, 26 net of buyouts, further diversifying the portfolio. One of those investments in compression generation services has grown over the first quarter of 2016 to be our largest investment at $6.96 million and represents 13.2% of the portfolio. As previously announced, we participated in 3 contract buyouts during Q4. They were Innovex, which provided a 23% IRR, Above Security with a 120% IRR and our largest investment in return to date, Fortel Solutions with a 39% IRR. Total contract buyouts in 2015 totaled $13.6 million. At year-end, Grenville had received more than 40% of its invested capital in cash from royalties and buyouts up to that point. As of the end of 2015, 85.6% of the portfolio was performing on target or above target, or has already been bought out at rates of return well above our 25% pricing level. However, in the current economic climate, 14.4% of the portfolio is performing below target, representing $9 million of invested capital. The shoulder on this left side of the bell curve is relatively small, which is positive news, particularly in light of the overall market conditions. Overall, the portfolio is tracking to a distribution pattern that is expected by management. We deployed $14.4 million in Q4, including $13 million in new company investments. This brings our total capital deployed for 2015 to $32.5 million and our total invested capital since inception to more than $57 million as of the end of 2015. For this fiscal year, we are introducing IFRS 9 as our accounting standard. In 20 months, this will be the standard methodology across the financial services industry. This is a far superior methodology for the evaluation, management, analysis, and understanding of portfolio assets like ours, as both negative and positive fair value results are reported each quarter. These fair value changes and other non-cash measures like foreign exchange are more clearly described under IFRS 9 as revenue impacting items. This is good for shareholders in that it provides the highest level of transparency. However, there will be a getting to know you phase as IFRS 9 is integrated into our business. A simple example of this is our Q4 revenues, which under IFRS 9 came in at under $1 million due to the impact of those non-cash adjustments for foreign exchange and fair value, notwithstanding the fact that we generated $5.5 million in revenue from royalties and contract buyouts. Additionally, adjusted EBITDA and free cash flow will also become more important measures than revenue for tracking the economic health of the company. To be consistent with the fair value approach, we have revisited our dollars per million dollars invested statistic. Previously, accounts receivable was not a material part of the revenue used in the calculation of this metric. Today, that number has grown, and we have changed to exclude long-term uncollected accounts receivable from the calculation. This results in a non-material change in prior months, but a value of $219,000 per million invested in December. While this is below our $250,000 per million invested pricing level, we believe this is still an industry-leading cash generation rate amongst royalty companies. Incorporated into the new IFRS 9 financials is a fair value reduction of $5.1 million for the three-month period ended December 31st, 2015. This reduction is generated by the valuation estimates generated by the management. With respect to our valuation process, Grenville manages its portfolio proactively, which means we have the ability to materially impact the investments we support and those we do not. This allows us to direct our full attention and resources to those companies producing the best results today as we deal with what we believe will be a weaker market for SME companies in 2016 versus 2015. Let me now address our outlook for Q1 and our plans going forward. The broader North American economies have been sluggish in the first quarter of 2016, and we believe these conditions could persist for the rest of the year. While much of the Q1 market turmoil was related to the oil price collapse, it affected most sectors of the economy, particularly in Canada. While stock markets have corrected, there have been meaningful negative economic impacts on SMEs, which lag far behind the stock market. This downturn and the decline of the U.S. dollar and the general market downturn will impact us. With respect to the dollar, we will see a non-cash foreign exchange loss in Q1. Fair value reporting provides an ability to advise our shareholders how we are managing the portfolio with respect to underperforming assets. Finally, select investments directly impacted by the credit markets have required amended payment terms, which has increased our accounts receivable. We have dealt with that impact in the calculation of the dollars per million dollars invested statistic. Since the beginning of 2016, we have intentionally slowed our rate of investment. We deployed $5.8 million since the start of the year, all of which was in follow-on investments. These were primarily strategic or defensive in nature. Over time, strategic defensive investments are an important strategy for maximizing return. However, not every investment has a positive outcome. As part of the outlook for Q1 2016, we could be required to record an unrealized loss in fair value of approximately 50% of the $3.7 million of this capital deployed in follow-on investments. We continue to see considerable growth potential in the medium to long term for our royalty-based financing product as SMEs search for growth capital alternatives to traditional debt or equity. Earlier this month, we announced our monthly dividend for April of 0.58 cents, which represents 7 cents per share on an annualized basis. The record date is April 29, 2016, payable on May 16, 2016. We have paid our dividend with strong free cash flow through a combination of royalty payment income and contract buyouts. Our payout ratio for fiscal 2015 was approximately 55% of 2015 free cash flow generated from royalties, interest, and realized gains from contract buyouts. Excluding buyouts, our payout ratio for 2015 was 101%. Our objective going forward is to focus on the sustainability of our dividend. This will be accomplished through reduction of costs, through performance improvements and revenue growth in the core of our portfolio, and finally, through prudent new investments. The focus on dividend sustainability is the core message we want to leave you with today. And I want to reiterate, the portfolio continues to provide robust returns even during this period of market instability. I'll now turn over to you, Danica.
Thank you, Steve. As Steve mentioned, we have adopted IFRS 9 as our accounting standard for the year ended December 31, 2015. However, we have not restated the financial results relating to the 3-month and the 12-month periods ended December 31, 2014, as permitted by the transitional provisions of IFRS 9. For these historical periods, we use International Accounting Standard 39, Recognition and Measurement, commonly referred to as IAS 39. This means that the information from the 2014 periods are not directly comparable to the information presented for the 3-month and 12-month periods ended December 31, 2015 under IFRS 9. Going forward, metrics-like royalty payment income plus interest income earned will be more useful than revenue under IFRS 9. Additionally, adjusted EBITDA and free cash flow will also become more suitable measures for tracking the economic performance of the company. For a full description of the impact of adopting IFRS 9, please see Management's Discussion and Analysis and Financial Statements filed on SEDAR, available at www.sedar.com. Royalty payment income was $2.4 million in Q4 2015 compared to $1.4 million in the same period in 2014. The increase was driven primarily by the 132% increase in total aggregate investments. We recorded adjusted EBITDA of $4.2 million and $10.8 million in Q4 and fiscal 2015, respectively, compared to a loss of $61,000 in Q4 2014 and an income of $449,000 in fiscal 2014, an increase of 2,100% on the year. This was the result of phenomenal growth in our portfolio. We added $32.5 million in new royalty agreements since the end of 2014. The portfolio also generated revenue from contract buyouts of $2.4 million and $4.6 million in Q4 2015 and fiscal 2015, respectively. Between royalty payments and contract buyouts, we generated free cash flow of $3.7 million and $7.3 million for Q4 and fiscal 2015, respectively. Revenue as defined under IFRS was $965,000 and $12.1 million in Q4 and fiscal 2015, respectively. Revenue was $1.5 million and $2.9 million in Q4 2014 and fiscal 2004, respectively. Realized gains on contract buyouts were $2.3 million for Q4, comprised of Above Security, Innovex, and Fortel Solutions, and $4.5 million in fiscal 2015, compared to nil in each of the corresponding periods in 2014. Unrealized loss from changes in fair value as per the adoption of IFRS 9 were $5.1 million in Q4 and $4.8 million in fiscal 2015, which provides better transparency into the portfolio versus the cost-based measurement that IAS 39 required us to employ to this point. Total operating expenses were $1.5 million for Q4 2015, compared to $219,000 for the same period last year. The change is primarily a result of $475,000 in employee bonus expense and $321,000 in professional fees in Q4 2015, compared to nil and $90,000 respectively in the same periods in 2014. In Q4 2014, we recorded an unrealized foreign exchange gain of $373,000, as well that was shown under operating expenses. Total operating expenses in fiscal 2015 were $3.4 million, compared to $4.7 million in 2014. The 2015 expenses included $525,000 in employee bonus expense and new management team members, while the 2014 expenses included a net foreign exchange gain of $694,000 and the RTO expense of $3.6 million. As per IFRS 9, foreign exchange differences were recorded as part of revenue in Q4 and 2015, as opposed to 2014, when they were recorded as part of operating expenses. In total, there was a foreign exchange gain of $3 million in fiscal 2015 as a result of a stronger US dollar. Management is confident in the ability of the business to generate free cash flow on an ongoing basis. During 2015, we made aggregate payments of $4.05 million in dividends. From January 1, 2016 to April 26th, we have made $2.4 million in dividend payments. As of December 31, 2015, the loans and royalty agreements acquired were $47.6 million, an increase from $24.2 million at the same point in 2014. Working capital was $17.9 million, and our cash position was $16.9 million. I'll now turn it back over to Steve for his closing thoughts.
Thanks, Danica. As you've heard, the portfolio delivered strong results in Q4 and fiscal 2015. We remain cautious going into the second quarter of 2016 and believe the economic conditions in certain sectors will remain soft. We do, however, remain very bullish on our business model and believe the refocus on dividend sustainability as a platform for future growth is of paramount importance for the company. We are starting this process with some great assets, including we have a proven business model, that demonstrates the value in using a 12% cost of capital to arbitrage investments at a 25% pricing level, unique in the royalty industry. We've constructed a balanced and stable portfolio across dollar denominations, sectors, and investment types. As we continue to prudently invest, our durable cash flows from the core of our portfolio will continue to grow. We have the ability and the willingness to assertively manage this portfolio, taking non-cash fair value changes where needed in support of dividend sustainability. In closing, I'm very excited to be leading this next phase of Grenville's growth, and I know that we have all the resources required to continue growing a sustainable, profitable business for our shareholders. At this time, we would now like to take your questions. Operator?
And ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from David Quezada with Raymond James. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks. Morning, guys. Quick question for you, given your comments on the outlook for 2016, a little bit more challenging, and I guess Bill's departure. What's a good way to think about your attitude towards capital deployment? Will you be looking to, I guess, reduce it going forward, or and I guess maybe some thoughts on how it'll sort of be broken up between follow-on investments and how much outward-looking deployment you'll do?
Let me start with we're very glad to have a $9 million treasury. We're sitting on good cash reserves at the present time. In terms of looking at the forward model, we would say we have a good opportunity to deploy capital efficiently, and that means that high returns within the existing portfolio. So that will be a part of our focus going forward, but it does not mean we are not doing additional new investments. Our deal flow remains more than sufficient for any level of deal investment we want to do on the outside, so we have all the resources available to do it. Our focus will continue to be on this core idea of dividend sustainability, and our decisions on which investments to make will be really focused on that point. The market for new investments will be governed somewhat by our comment on market conditions outside. And again, where you have great assets in the portfolio, that's a good place to look, where you know the company well and you can make investments where you're certain of the company's prospects.
Okay, great. That's helpful. And then I guess my next question is, with the strengthening of the U.S. dollar, does that impact the way you view the market at all? I know in the past you've probably been a little bit more predisposed to making investments in the U.S. At what point do you kind of reevaluate that and maybe focus more on Canada?
Right now, part of the softness we've seen in the market would have been, I would say, centered on Canada. In fact, there are signs of the Canadian economy for SMEs, and remember, the SME market is quite different than the stock market. The stock market may have recovered, but SMEs take longer to recover in a cycle like this, and we think that a lot of the SME marketplace is actually challenged today. So when we look at our opportunities in the States and we look at the companies we have in the States today in the portfolio, still feeling very confident about that U.S. marketplace. To give you a little more color on that, we will be adding additional resources in terms of the U.S. market, in terms of our ability to do deals down there, which gives you some indication that we still think that's a very, very strong market for us, and lots of opportunity for new investment.
Okay, great. That's all the questions I had for now. Thanks.
Your next question comes from Jeff Fenwick with Cormark Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Good morning. Just wanted to start off with your commentary around the dividend. I mean, looking at that commentary, it really seems to suggest that the plan here is to cut it down to a more manageable level. So are you thinking here, well, I guess one question is, why didn't you cut it now? And then go forward, are you thinking about setting up a target payout ratio on the run rate of the cash flow portfolio?
Right. First of all, we're absolutely not talking about a dividend cut. We are refocusing our efforts on dividend sustainability, and I really believe, Jeff, that we've got a lot of levers to pull here. There's, you know, as we sort of relook at how we think about the business, you heard us talk about growth for the first 2.5 years. We really, really focused on that. We built up a large portfolio, 26 companies now in the portfolio. That was sort of phase one, the growth phase. Today we're saying we need to make sure that that dividend we've generated is sustainable. So focus of management will be fully on that. You can get to sustainability with three methods that do not involve cutting dividends. You reduce your costs. You get organic growth out of the portfolio by working on those companies that you think have the best chance of return. And again, you can sort of see a part of that story in the fair value work. You know, where one always has a tendency to look at the companies that are the laggards and spend time, there's actually great opportunity to work with the companies that are doing well and make further additional investments that raise your IRR and raise your return in companies you have good, solid knowledge of. So that's the second part. And then the third part is, of course, new investments. And we have a treasury with which we can do that. So those three things are our focus, not on cutting dividends.
And then with Bill's departure, I mean, you're a small team there. What's the thinking in terms of adding to the team here going forward to help you manage that growth?
Our approach, because we're working on this dividend sustainability phase two program, our real focus is going to be on the existing portfolio. One of the things you like to add when you're working on that basis is expertise in the areas of things like engineering and company structuring and so forth. I've got a pretty deep network in the U.S. from living down there for 12 years, and we're going to be bringing in some resources on a contractual basis to help us do that, and that really we think is the right way to do it. So we're going to be adding, I would say, considerable talent to our resource base to go and work on those investments that are very targeted at the things we think get us that security in our dividend.
Okay. And then you did put out some incremental follow-on investments, as you stated in your release here, through the beginning of the year. But then there's commentary here that you may have to write down, I think it was 50% here, you're saying, and I'm not clear, is it 50% of the $5.8 million, or I think you gave a different number that was 3.7?
Yeah, it was 50% of the 3.7, and what that's representing is if you looked at the fair values for companies that we invested capital in after the year, and you were to take the same fair value for the money you put into those companies in 2016, you would have that effect. So it's a hypothetical number, but it's giving some guidance that the companies in which we've invested, these were defensive and strategic investments where there could be challenges. It's not a, again, fair values are not permanent events typically. They are numbers that go up and down depending upon the performance of companies. So that is a possibility if we were to simply continue what we did in 2015 valuations.
Okay, and then with respect to the fair value adjustments there, you have $5.1 million you mentioned in Q4. You know, what are the principal things you're talking about here when you mean fair value? Is this is it looking at those investments and doing some sort of discounted cash flow? I know there's a lot of different lenses you can use when thinking about fair value. So what would be the biggest changes here to create that $5 million change in the quarter?
Let me pass it over to Donica to talk about the fair value methodology.
Yeah, in very simple terms, as Steve had mentioned earlier, how we approach this is we look at the particular investment and what we feel that the market participants would buy that particular investment for. So we would use it because they're a level three type of investment. We would look at a discounted cash flow model, whereby we would apply a discount rate and look at what we believe the cash flows in that investment will be going forward. So in the context of the $5.1 million adjustment, obviously it's made up of some investments have an upward adjustment, some investments have a downward adjustment, but that primarily would take into account that, you know, for some investments, as this moment in time, there would be, let's say, a probability that we would receive less royalty payment than we initially anticipated at the start of the royalty. So that's primarily what we would
would be reflected in the $5.1 million fair value adjustment.
Okay. And I guess maybe just one last one here within the context of the cyclical pressures you mentioned. You did see an uptick of those performing below target through Q4. Is it fair to say then that trend is likely to continue into the first quarter here then also?
Not prepared to make that kind of a prediction today, Jeff, but there's definitely more softness in the marketplace. You have to remember that it only takes a couple of the companies in the portfolio doing well that were having, you know, lower valuations earlier in the year that could actually reverse that trend. So it's a very fluid number. That's why we like IFRS 9. We can really communicate with you that there's been a shift in either direction. I also want to add one more point about the IFRS 9 methodology, because I think we're going to be talking about this every quarter. When you deal with IAS 39, there's sort of an implication that you're a victim of exogenous events. When you impair an asset, it's about things being done to you. You do fair value, what you're actually saying is, I'm proactively managing deals. And one of the things you do is you decide where you're going to assign future capital. So in giving you that $5.1 million, a significant part of that was decisions made by management to say, you know what, certain deals where they are lagging in terms of their revenue potential and where we may have put additional capital to work in the future, we're going to be moving forward, putting that capital resource towards investments where we see higher returns. So these are the results of active management by the Grenville team. It's really not an adverse reaction to things out in the marketplace, and that's a very important point for us. We think we're doing what is required to maximize return for our shareholders, and that's kind of core of the whole dividend sustainability message.
Okay, thank you. I'll requeue.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from James Reed with Haywood. Please go ahead.
Hey, morning, guys. I was just wondering how you plan to reduce costs. The structure is already pretty lean over there, to my understanding, and you're looking to add to your bench strength down in the U.S., so if you could provide some additional color on where you have the leeway to cut costs, that'd be helpful.
Right. 2 points. One, a lot of times when we add resources, those are not company costs. Those are actually portfolio investee costs. So part of that offset comes from the dollars that come from the companies. We have found in the first 2.5 years of the company that many of our portfolio companies really appreciate it when we bring extra resources to the table that help them with their business. So that is not necessarily a cost to Grenville. Secondarily, when you think about moving from a model where we are you know, going as hard as we can on a pure growth model, you add costs in doing that. You know, there are failed deal costs and so forth that add to the cost base. Our belief is that there is savings that can be realized when you're working on a more dividend sustainability model. So it's only one piece of a larger puzzle that is being discussed here. The other big pieces of it are organic growth from the existing portfolio and the capability of the team to identify and make other new investments. You know, just to give scale to the problem, though, $100,000 in savings is equivalent to 1 cent dividend, right? So there's even a $10,000 or $20,000 improvement is quite material to our shareholders, and we think that's part of what prudent management should do, is really look at the cost base and make sure we're focusing on that as close as possible.
Okay, excellent. That's it for me. Thanks, guys.
Your next question comes from Trevor Johnson with National Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, you mentioned the opportunity to maybe pull a lever with some of the organic growth opportunities in your portfolio. I just want to talk about maybe how that's tracking, if you can see some visibility into where organic growth on a revenue basis is for your partners.
Sure. I can give you some qualitative answers about the types of things we're talking about. One of the simplest and easiest ones is helping folks with contract buyouts. If you look at the 5 exits that have occurred today, we were instrumental in the majority of them. We actually were part of the solution in having that happen, and we see other opportunities to do that in our portfolio. So anytime we can take a 25% return and turn it into a 100% return by getting a company lower cost of capital by taking us out, that's something we're going to do. And you know, one of the interesting learnings about Grenville has been that our portfolio companies really appreciate that kind of work. So that's one simple bucket in which we can work. A second one is sourcing capital. We have a company that's moving forward with growth. You know, if we can find two, three, four times our kind of, our capital as part of a solution, in other words, we put in $100,000, other groups put in $400,000. When we can source that capital, we allow for growth to happen in their portfolio. Growth means higher revenues. Revenues mean higher royalties, and we win. When we can lever other people's money to do that, that is a fantastic way to grow our business. And it's probably an underappreciated part of our portfolio value. And that's, again, when this refocus on dividend sustainability, we're going looking for those opportunities with a more aggressive eye to additional cash flow.
Gotcha. Great, thanks. And just looking at your past due amounts, I noticed that when I look at September versus December quarter end, there was over 91 days that came up in Q4, but we didn't see any kind of inkling of that in any previous quarter. Do you mind just mentioning what that might be if you can?
Yeah, I mean, for some of the investments, as we mentioned, as part of, there was some long-term uncollected AR, Trevor. So that just represented some investments where the we have been trying to collect the royalty payment, but as of the end of the year, we have not been able to collect it.
Okay. And just to clarify, too, you mentioned that you're including accounts receivable in your royalty revenue per million deployed metric. Was that just in December, or was that across Q4, or was that across actually all of your 2015 when you adjusted them?
We adjusted all across 2015. We just felt that going forward, it would be more appropriate to take out just the long-term outstanding AR, because we felt that would give a better reflection on, you know, the amount of the royalty payment that's being collected and received and available to shareholders for the dividend purposes.
And very, very importantly, it's a non-material number in any month prior to December. So it really came about as we watched the April results, where we saw certain companies that we were confident in December that they would actually receive those royalties. The April market conditions are giving us a higher level of pessimism that's going to occur, which is why we've really changed. It didn't have a material, it wasn't part of the material part of the story up until really the April analysis of markets.
Gotcha. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
And again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And that is all the questions we have from analysts this morning. I'll turn the call back over to Mr. Steve Perry for his closing remarks.
Well, I want to thank everyone for joining us on the call today. I thought we went over some pretty interesting parts of our story here in the Q&A. Again, we are very confident of the business, and we're looking forward to, let me say, I'm looking forward on my second day of work as CEO in working towards that dividend sustainability target that we've talked about in the call. Thank you very much.
And ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.